God's grace to you and his peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text will be taking a look at this Good Shepherd theme. And pardon my little bit of a sense of humor in trying to connect things together, but I'm also going to use the analogy of the three little pigs. Because in our Good Shepherd theme from John chapter 10 and the three little pigs, there is a common element. The big bad wolf. In John chapter 10, it very clearly knows that the wolf will come, and the hired hand, because he's not the shepherd, is going to leave the flock, and the flock is going to be scattered. And of course, we may know what happens with the three little pigs. I remember the song very vividly, "Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf? The Big Bad Wolf? The Big Bad Wolf?" Yes, as the first little pig who built his house of straw found it falling on the ground after the big bad wolf came. Same with the second pig who built his house of wood or of sticks, but the third one of bricks, the wolf could not blow down. I'm going to use that as a connecting point with Christ as our good shepherd here. And first of all, I have to sort of add as our connecting point here, how does one build the house so it doesn't fall from the big bad wolf? Using Jesus' words from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus is speaking. He says, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Not just the big bad wolf, but the gates of Hades. And what was it that Peter just got through saying that Jesus would make such a statement? He just got through saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." That bold confession of faith by Peter, and Jesus says, "I'm going to take that faith, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Likewise, from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone." So we have a picture in our mind, or at least I want to put a picture in your mind, of that house being built by bricks, being great, but as long as it is on the cornerstone and built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified. For as Christians, this is the basis of our faith. This is what the Easter message is all about. The women going to the tomb, seeing the tomb empty, Jesus is alive. His death, his resurrection for the satisfaction, for the redemption of our souls, so that we can be with God in heaven above. It sounds all too easy. Faith which believes and trusts in this death and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins is the key foundation that builds the house that the big bad wolf can't blow down. It also keeps us following Christ, the Good Shepherd. Now we may sit there and say, "Okay, Pastor, this we know, so what's the big deal?" Well, let's go back to the three little pigs for a moment. Remember the first two pigs? Why did they choose their material of straw and wood? The picture book that I remember was because they wanted to have more time to play, because building with bricks takes a while. That's going to give me a little bit of a lead into where I want to go with Christ as the shepherd. You see, very often as Christians we say, "Yes, I'm following Christ." We may even see some televangelists, you know, having that Bible in their hand saying, "Follow Christ." Well, that's great. We need to be following Christ. He is our good shepherd. But how well do we follow? Let me put it this way. From the outside, if I remember my picture book correctly, there really wasn't too much of a difference between the house of straw, the house of wood, and the house of bricks. You know, they were both, all three of them were one-room houses. You know, they had their chimney, they had their door, they had the lit window. And I'm sure all three of the houses would have done well under rain, sleet, stormy weather, and so forth down the line. What was the real key difference? The key difference was the big bad wolf. That's what separated the first two from the last one. Now, here's the problem. As Christians, we like to say we're following Christ, but how well are we really following Christ? You know, those first two pigs, they did have houses. They thought those houses were going to protect them. They thought they were doing the right thing at the right time. only to find out that the big bad wolf won the day. How do we as Christians make sure that we're not falling into the same category? How do we make sure that we are building our house on the sure foundation? Going back to what God gives us, His Word. Going back to God's Word to find out what the Christ is telling us. And how do we do that? Well, plain and simple, the church has that easy answer. The church is that community of believers gathered around Word and Sacrament. And then the church does something else. The church calls pastors. And what do pastors serve as? Pastors serve as an under-shepherd, pointing to the good shepherd. Notice in our confession and absolution, when we get to the time of the absolution, my words, I act in the stead and by the command of Christ. I'm operating as the under-shepherd. I'm operating as Christ. And as long as I am attached to God's Word, proclaiming God's Word, I am proclaiming Christ. I'm operating in that under-shepherd mode. And pastors are in that role of the under-shepherd, guiding the local church in following Christ by proclaiming the gospel and by administering the sacraments. Now, some of you might start thinking, wait a minute, Pastor. Sounds like you're elevating yourself a little bit. And the answer to that is, well, it depends. Am I really promoting myself? Or am I just that finger pointer going back to saying, here's Christ, there's Christ, we need to be following Christ? As long as I'm doing that finger pointing and leading us the right direction toward Christ, then I'm not elevating myself, but who am I elevating? I'm elevating Christ. But you see, as human beings, our sinful nature sometimes gets the best of us. And we don't like to take authority very well. We don't want to take instructions from other people. We'd rather do it our own way. Then we need to learn the lesson of the three little pigs. What happens when we build outside the foundation of Jesus the Christ? The big bad wolf comes. And as John chapter 10 reminds us, scatters the flock. How do we know the difference? How do we know whether the pastor is proclaiming Christ and Him crucified or is really proclaiming himself? Well, then again, we have to go back to what God's Word tells us. First of all, from Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." So is that possible, that someone would come to try to lead you astray, to lead you to build a false house that won't support itself? The answer is yes. Then how do we determine? You see, very often our sinful nature does get the best of us. And when we hear something that the pastor says that we don't like, what is our first reaction? Unfortunately, sometimes our sinful nature's first reaction is to belittle the pastor, saying, well, what does he know? Or, he's too conservative, or he's just too rigid here. You know, they don't do things like that anymore. Come on, Pastor, get into the 21st century here. But we have to go back again to what Scripture says. When Paul was working with the Bereans, there's an interesting passage in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, which says, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so." Notice they didn't sit there and attack Paul. They didn't belittle Paul. But they were going back to God's Word and saying, okay, let's see, is this really what it says? It is. Then Paul must be right. They didn't first start by attacking the shepherd or the under-shepherd, but by listening and then checking it out on the basis of God's Word. Needless to say, if we go back to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers," that's sort of like an under-shepherd, "to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood." So here, Scripture is very clear, even for us under-shepherds, that we have to be careful. We have to protect ourselves because we also may fall victim and become a wolf and lead people astray. And how do we protect ourselves? the same protection that the Good Shepherd gives to you through His Word. Now, yes, the church establishes these under-shepherds, these pastors, but there's still a lot of work to be done, because in case if you don't know about sheep, let me tell you what one sheep farmer told me. He basically said, if there's a little hole in the fence, the sheep will find it, and the sheep will go through the hole. Even if it means certain death, it doesn't matter to the sheep. They just go ahead and do these things. Likewise, as human beings, our sinful nature gets the best of us, and we do things which are actually very, very silly and are injurious to our faith. We need the Good Shepherd. We have the under-shepherd, and God uses other people. Sunday school teachers, vacation Bible school teachers, Lutheran day school teachers, other people to proclaim God's Word and to teach that Word, to keep the flock back on focus. And then let me add one more into this category, that of parents. You see, parents also have a role in here as an authority. You see, God has entrusted children to parents, to be raised by them, to be nurtured by them, even to be taught the faith by them. It's not my role and responsibility to teach children, per se. Not your children. As heads of the household, you have to teach them. Because let me use the example this way. You see, here at Trinity, we offer Sunday school. We offer vacation Bible school. We have a lot of extra programs besides the divine service, where God's Word is communicated and the sacraments administered. But what happens on Sunday morning when the children hear this Word of God and then are taken home and they hear a different message? Let me put it this way. Children are very observant. Their eyes are wide open. Their ears are very clear. They watch every movement you make. Are you always proclaiming Christ and Him crucified? Are you studying God's Word at home? What happens when they start hearing mixed messages of how important this is on Sunday morning, and then at home they hear a different message? It starts having a little bit of a confusion within the kids. They start hearing a different gospel message. Needless to say, as parents, we have to take that responsibility very seriously and teach these little ones the faith, making sure that they also understand. But I will admit, even my little ones get rebellious at times. Now, what do we do when we've done all that we can do? And we've done the teaching, we've done the raising, we've raised them in a Christian household, we've done our best, and then when they get older, they start departing and leaving the faith. Well, what happens when we do see people leave? Not just our little ones, but every one of us has friends who at maybe one time was part of the community of faith and now is no longer part of it. What do we do? Well, first of all, we continue to pray for God's strength and asking God to have mercy on them. But God also uses other people. And we ask God to use those other people. You see, every single Christian who is pointing to Christ, in one essence, can be shepherding people who have sort of lost their way. I know you were probably told as a little child that you shouldn't be pointing at other people. Well, fair enough, don't be pointing at other people. But we're supposed to be pointing toward Christ, keeping our eyes fixed on Him. And plus, then there's also something about the Holy Spirit. You see, God knows this is a very challenging task, because as human beings, we also are very challenging to Him. He sends the Holy Spirit, who creates this faith within us, who keeps us in this faith, and then when we do get rebellious, is constantly trying to nudge us back into the faith. I know it sounds kind of bad, but it fits my analogy. I guess you could call the Holy Spirit that sort of sheep-herding dog that tries to keep the flock together. Bottom line is, though, if that sheep is really rebellious, the sheep can avoid all of God's resources and all of God's grace. We hope and pray that that never occurs, but unfortunately, it may. So what do? We ask the Lord to continue to grow our faith. We ask the Lord to continue to renew that spirit within us, because even at times we have been rebellious, and there have probably been those very good Christian people in our lives, whether it's been pastors or teachers or just good Christian friends, who have helped nudge us along back into the fold. So we ask the Lord to keep us and to maintain that membership, to help us to keep us focused upon Him as the author and perfecter of our life. And we ask the Lord to continue to shower upon us with His grace and protection, so that we may never leave the fold, but always be faithful. We ask the Lord for His continued blessings upon us, especially as the church gathers for this Good Shepherd Sunday. Now, my last tie-in here with my three little pigs. And actually, you do know it does end on a happy note. The first two little pigs, and right after that second house is blown down, what do? They go back to that house of refuge. They go back to that house of bricks. They go back to where that security is, and then they are safe. So it is with the Christian. We go back to the sure foundation of Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of our sins, the only one who lays down His life, who dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and His doors are always open. We thank the Lord for keeping those open doors and to help fill His church. We ask the Lord to use us as His tools and instruments to continue to point to Him, to Christ and Him crucified for our salvation. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.